You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
We all know the one that we came to see is not Pastor Andrew. It is the only one that's worthy of praise and glory and honor. Put that slide up again. Can you put the slide up again of the kids, the preschool kids? This is what kids look like that are potty trained, apparently. All right, so they're really happy. They look like they want to bite something. So anyway. Stick around Sunday next week. I do want to mention that Pastor Tim is going to be bringing the word next week. So if you know Pastor Tim Howard, our former lead pastor, you know it will be good. Next week, he shared a little bit with me about what he plans to share, and it's going to be a really encouraging Sunday. So it will be a great time to invite a friend to attend with you. We are in a series, this kind of a little short series called Going Up. It's a series on prayer. My desire this week and last week simply is to stir us up in the area of prayer. One of the things that I know about prayer is that everybody knows it's a good idea, but very often it's something that just gets neglected because we run out of prayer energy very quickly. It's like we run out of prayer fuel very fast. We can pray around the table. I know how to do that. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Yay, God. We pray in times of emergency. God help. You know, we know how to do those kinds of prayers. But when it comes to any other kind of sustained prayer, more often than not, we just don't either know how to do it or we don't have the grit to really get into it and to press into this thing called prayer. And so I just want to once again stir the church up in prayer. By the way, hasn't it been a great service already this morning? I mean, God's presence is so wonderful. And he's already done the work. I just feel like the message that I'm going to share this morning, he's already done the work inside of our hearts. And so I'm just going to add a little bit to that. Now, a great quote on prayer that I read recently, was reminded of, is this, that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. Think about the nerves in your body. There's these little tiny fibers that we can't even see unless we have a microscope. And yet they just send through a little electrical impulse, a little current, just a little firing of that electrical stimulation. Suddenly the muscles of your body come into action. And our prayers are very often like that. They're very little. They're very weak. They don't have a lot of power. I don't know about you, but many times when I open my mouth, I think, man, I don't know what to say. God, I'm stumbling for words. I need some help here. I know that after I pray for this one thing, I'm not going to know what's going to come next. And I devalue the power of my prayer so much. But the reality is, it's not in your pretty words. It's not in how you pray as much as who you are praying to, who the muscle of omnipotence is, that we are actually reaching out and connecting with the one that is the most powerful person in the universe and who is waiting. It's almost like all of heaven is waiting to see if the church, that is the people of God, that is you and me who know Jesus Christ, if they will simply open their mouths and engage with heaven and wait for him to actually do something, call upon him and draw out the promises of God from the realm of the invisible into this visible place right here and right now. Prayer makes the impossible possible. It is through prayer that the kingdom of God is advanced. It's through prayer that provision in your house and in my house is released. It's through prayer that forgiveness is obtained, that temptation is overcome. It's prayer that moves mountains of impossibility and brings into this place God's power. It moves the church forward. Prayer is something that's desperately needed. And I just want to remind you once again, whether you're comfortable with it or not, whether you feel like you know how to do it or not, and I know a lot of you feel like you don't know how to do it. I've seen your faces when we say, hey, turn and get in groups of three and begin to pray with one another. I see you guys go, oh my God, this is the worst thing anyone has ever asked me to do. I understand that prayer is something that is not necessarily the most easy thing in the world, and yet it is something that we must learn how to do. Our verse for this series is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says this: "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord.'" Would you say that with me this morning? Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. I'm saying to you this morning, church, come, let's go up. It's time for us to go up. It's time for us to meet with the Lord. Let's not get distracted. If we've forgotten, if we've gone into neutral, if we've gone in other directions, it's time. It's time for us to go up to the house of the Lord. The pattern that we see in Scripture, the divine pattern, is that his people, that we go up to meet with him, and then he shows up. We've already seen that happen this morning. We went up to the mountain of the Lord in worship. We began to climb the staircase to the upper room to seek out the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we began to sing with our mouth praises to the King, he showed up. He showed up as he always does. He is faithful, and he promises that if his people will seek him, he actually will come and he will move on their behalf. But it's so important for us to go up. John says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" I believe that the Lord is calling his church, he's calling his people, he's calling you, he's calling me to come up here. Come up a little higher. Come up to a place where you can see a little bit more. When we speak of coming up here, we move higher. It speaks of greater responsibility. It speaks of greater authority. It speaks of a position where you're no longer just eyes down and stuck in this world, but you're actually beginning to see that God is moving and that he is waiting for his people to engage him in prayer. And so it's time for us to go up higher. Church, let's go higher this morning. Let's go higher this morning. Let's not get stuck and stay stuck where we're at. Let's not just get stuck in the little things. It's time for us to move beyond the prayers of, "Oh God, would you help me get through today? Oh God, my kids are about to drive me crazy. Oh God, my..." It's time for us to move beyond. It's time for us to go higher, church. It's time for us to meet with the King of Kings and realize that we are a part of his kingdom, and that his kingdom has a purpose, that his kingdom is advancing, and it requires the kingdom of God, the people of God, to actually see their position as soldiers in his army called to move his purposes forward in the earth, which requires you and me not just to do nice things, but to pray with our mouth, to engage the muscle of omnipotence in heaven, who is waiting on our behalf to move and shake and stir this earth. We need his presence. We need his transforming power. We need what he has, because I don't know about you, if he doesn't show up, we might as well just roll it up, because it ain't going to happen. I've looked at myself. I've tried to do nice things. I've tried to just fix myself. It doesn't work. But when I come in contact with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, suddenly something can happen. And we need that transforming power, and our community needs that transforming power. So we're called, and I'm calling you today. It's time to go up. It's time to go up. Actually, just right now, just right where you're at. You don't even have to close your eyes, but you can if you want. But just maybe for 20 or 30 seconds, let's just begin to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to meet with you. God, we're here for the purposes of meeting with you." Just lift your voice. Say, "God, I'm here. I want to meet with you. I don't want to leave this place without meeting with you today. We're just praying, God. I'm asking that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, spiritually speaking, to hear from your voice. Lord, we didn't come to hear a man. We didn't come to have a nice time. We didn't come just to hear nice music. We came to meet with you, God. So would you meet with us today? Would you open the eyes of our heart to perceive what you're saying to the church today? Lord, we don't want to move out of our seats without having encountered the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who changes everything, the one who holds in his hand everything in the world. And so, God, we're praying today, would you now break every oppositional force that would distract? Would you break every spirit that is opposed to the kingdom of God, and would you bring right now in this place your life and your light for every heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about going up to claim cities. Last week, we talked about claiming generations. And if you missed that, I want to encourage you, you can go back and listen to it. I think it was a great time of honoring the generations and learning how to pray for the generations, both in the past and forward. Today, I want to talk to you about claiming cities. I believe that we're called as a church. And when I say that, I don't mean just Koinonia. I mean every church in the city, every church in this world has a call to claim the cities of this world. And the reason why cities are important is because cities are people pumps. I've heard cities referred to in that way. They're a place where people come and interact. It's a place of business. It's a place of relationship. There's so many things that happen within cities. And cities have personalities. They have influence. They have borders. We know all about cities and how they're structured. But they really are influential and powerful forces in our world. And God has called the people of God, the church of God, not just to live in our little huts closed in our churches with the doors closed and sort of survive and wait to get through to the end, but rather to be the kind of people that actually take possession of the cities that are around us, that bring the kingdom of God to bear on the structures within cities. And the thing that the Apostle Paul believed very deeply is he believed that God is in the business of making all things new. He's in the business of taking every structure that we see in our world today, and when we bring it into the kingdom of God, it is transformed, it is redeemed, it is made into something beautiful. And I don't know about you, but we need some redemption in our cities. We need some transformation. We need something to be more beautiful in our cities, because when we see what's going on around us in our world, we know there are some problems. There are some problems. And so I want to give you some ammunition this morning about how, as the people of God, the church of God, you and I are invited into, and actually our purpose is to bring the kingdom of God into our cities. I want to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and begin to roll this out. I want to say thank you to Pastor Frank DiMaggio. I drew heavily from his research for the message today, because it's just so good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says this, and you might be familiar with it, one of the first two verses in the Bible, right? It says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, if we were to break that down, when it says the earth was without form, that word without form can be translated in a variety of ways, right? Because it could mean that it was unformed and void or empty, that it's a formless wasteland, that it's chaotic, and that it's a shapeless, chaotic mass. It's a description of the way that the earth was before creation. Now, what I'd like to do is just substitute for a moment the word city for the word earth, because I think that as we do that, we'll begin to see that there's something about our cities that God wants to encounter. And so what we could say is that the city that we see around us, the cities that we see around us, they are unformed and void. They're very often empty. They're very often purposelessness. They're filled with purposelessness. They're a formless wasteland. They're chaotic. They're a shapeless, chaotic mass. I don't know about you, but when I look around at our cities today, I see a lot of brokenness. I see a lot of things that should work but don't work. They there should be structure, but there's not structure, and we're trying to throw all these things out at all our resources at it. We see a lot of work going on, but we just don't seem to have the answers. When we look at our cities, what we see very often is that they're wastelands. I was reading an article about a particular street in a city that once had been thriving and full of life, and now when you drove down it, it's almost like a desperation of brokenness, that no longer the businesses could no longer survive there, and it's just completely broken down. It's chaotic. It's shapeless. There's darkness that hangs over it. Right? The verse says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. When we think of our cities, we often, I think, would be very correct in thinking of seeing the darkness that is surrounding and covering our cities. think about our cities here in this county, the violence that is on the increase even right now. And this year, violence is, by some accounts, doubled over last year. We see issues of poverty and homelessness. We see destructive commerce that's going on. This week I heard about law enforcement in one of our cities in this county did a drug bust and netted a massive amount of drugs that were headed for the streets, headed for our streets, headed for the community. And it's just an indication of the brokenness and the darkness that is so prevalent in our cities. We see it, but oftentimes we don't want to see it, because when we look at it, it feels hopeless, because we've tried to fix it. We don't know what to do about it, and so many times what we'd rather do is we'd rather sort of look away and just focus on our own little beautiful areas that we create, our own little world, our own little home. We'll go into our houses and close the garage and turn on our worship music inside our house, and we just kind of ignore the world. But the reality is that it seems hopeless unless God's Spirit does something. And the good news is what Genesis 1:2 says, is that there over the formlessness of the earth that was surrounded in darkness, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was waiting to do something. The Spirit of God that brings the breath of life, that can take things that are without form, that are full of chaos, that seem to be without purpose, and can bring form, and can bring purpose, and can bring meaning. And so the good news today is that our city is in a purpose, perfect position, because wherever there is darkness, we know there is a God who is ready to separate the darkness from the light. Wherever there is brokenness, we know there is a God that is hovering and that is waiting to bring healing for brokenness, that is ready to bring sight to blindness, that's ready to bring light to the darkness. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so I just want you to know this morning that the cities that we live in, whether you're from this county or you're from another place, that we are ripe to receive the Spirit of God. We are not without hope this morning. We are not without hope. We're not just saying, I'm just going to hold on until the end. But actually, we are expectant that the Lord, who is God, He is the one that rescues us from the dominion of darkness. That He's the one that shines light in dark places and gives sense to the chaos. Yes. And He's the one that we are to invite in to this place. Yes. We're to invite Him in to our cities. I was reminded of a story that I had heard about a youth group of a church that decided that they were going to begin to prayer walk around their neighborhood. And, they just started to see that some of the principles that I'm teaching you today, that the church is called actually to take dominion. And wherever your feet tread, you're supposed to call God's presence into that place and to bring His kingdom to bear. And so they just began to walk around their neighborhood that surrounded the city once a week. And they would just pray, just a bunch of youth that were just praying, students that were praying as they were walking. Over a period of weeks or months, they encountered a guy who was a known drug dealer in the community. And he, in the course of this conversation, he just sort of quizzically said to them, "No one wants to buy my drugs in this neighborhood anymore. I don't understand it. I have to go elsewhere to sell the drugs that I used to be able to sell in this place." Yeah. They just kind of smiled at him and they just kind of walked right along. Because there is something that is released when the people of God begin to take dominion through prayer. When we begin to take seriously what the Word of God says about who you and I are, that we are actually partners and participants with the King of Kings, that we have been given authority from heaven, that Jesus, who received the keys to the kingdom, has now handed them to you and to me. And we are to be engaged in claiming territory. We are to occupy the territory that we have, not just wait and hope for a future time when we can be rescued, but right now call rescue down from heaven. Right now call light into dark places. Right now say, enemy, this is not your place. You are not going to rule and reign here. You are not going to have your way any longer. And as a church begins to arise and begins to declare and claim the territory that God has already given them, then we begin to see transformation that can happen. And what I want to do is just to give you a little ammunition for your prayers this morning. I want to talk to you about that darkness that hovers and surrounds our cities, that darkness that is always seeking, right? The enemy is, in fact, seeking to destroy. His purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. His purpose is to take the next generation and confuse them and to tell them they have hopeless futures and purposeless to come. That his desire is to take and to destroy every good thing that the Lord wants to happen. And so what we have to do as a church is we have to actually become a little bit more sophisticated about understanding how the enemy works. And so I want to talk to you about our enemy, the darkness, for a few minutes. Because I want to raise your awareness about the spiritual and moral darkness that surrounds us all the time and that many times we can be ignorant of. I'm going to give you some characteristics of darkness. I'm going to move through these quickly. If you want to follow along in your notes, I encourage you to do that or to take some notes this morning. Every one of these points has verses. I'm not going to read every verse because I want you to catch the fullness of what I'm saying. But I just don't have time to go through every verse individually. If you want to follow and get the digital notes, they're on the Church Center app. And if you get that, go down the bottom right-hand corner more, and you can click Sermon Notes. You can download a PDF of all of the notes, all the fill-ins, all of that good stuff. Let me just talk to you about darkness for a moment, because I want to raise your sensitivity that we are, when we're talking about claiming cities, we are involved in a confrontation with the enemy. That we do, in fact, have an enemy, and though the enemy's time is short, he is doing everything that he can to do as much destruction as he can in the meantime. And we have to realize that the reason that we must engage in prayer is because all of our human efforts are not going to fix the problem. All of our human efforts are the amount of money that we throw at things. If it would have fixed things, they would have been fixed. We recognize that all the things that we have tried to do to fix these issues, they're not working. And so we have to go to one who can fix these things. So let's understand the issue. First of all, when we're talking about darkness and the characteristics of darkness, first of all, I want you to know that darkness can be felt and is often region specific. So when we talk about an atmosphere, I want you to just be sensitized to the fact that every city, every region has a spiritual atmosphere. This morning, there's an atmosphere in this church. It's a pretty good atmosphere. Boy, it's a beautiful atmosphere. It's atmosphere of faith and expectation, an atmosphere of open heaven. That's the atmosphere that we want in this church. Before the first service, I was back. There's a room where they're praying for you right now, even in this moment. They're praying for every person in the service. And I was in there, and they just spent a few minutes praying for me. I didn't want to leave that atmosphere. It was atmosphere of God's presence. It was a powerful thing. Atmosphere is a real thing. Now, atmosphere speaks of a spiritual reality of what's going on, maybe invisibly, but is present right now. And when you walk into a city, there are some cities, and you know this maybe if you've traveled in other places on a missions trip or you've gone internationally to different places. Some cities you go in and you feel the spiritual oppression. It almost feels heavy in that place. I've gone into cities before, even just like driving somewhere, and you go into the city and all of a sudden I'll be like, ugh, I just feel hopeless or desperate. Like there's an atmosphere in certain places because of what has happened in those places, because of the people that live there. And over time, what ends up happening is that an atmosphere is developed, and it's developed over the course of time as people begin to engage, right? Engage in a spiritual way, either in a positive way or a negative way. And the reality is that many times we're dealing with an atmosphere issue in our cities. The reason why we're hopeless is because there is, in fact, some dominion of darkness that has surrounded the city that now breathes hopelessness if you just walk into the boundary lines of the city. You begin to deal with it. You're thinking thoughts now that are oppressive, and you're like, just a moment ago, you weren't anymore. Why? Because there's a spiritual atmosphere that's there. We have to be aware of the atmosphere that's around us. Secondly, you have to be aware that darkness affects comprehension. John 1:5 says, the darkness, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That when you're surrounded by darkness, just as natural darkness, when you're in the darkness, you can't see, and so you stumble around in the darkness. Darkness also, spiritually speaking, affects your spiritual understanding. It affects your ability to think clearly. Have you ever dealt with people and you're talking with them and you're giving them truth, you're giving them good information, and you're saying things that really should make sense, but they can't get it? There's a spiritual darkness that's there that doesn't allow them to receive the very truth that God desires for them to be able to receive. Why? Because they're surrounded and affected by a darkness that has affected their comprehension. And it's no wonder that in our world today there are so many ridiculous things that people are believing, because there has been now a darkness that has been allowed to affect people's mind. And so we're not even thinking clearly anymore. It's time for us as a church to begin not to yell and scream at the culture, but rather to begin to pray and to take dominion over darkness that has influence over people's minds. See, because we're not engaged in a duel of who has the best ideas. We're engaged in a spiritual battle. And as a church, we have to be a little bit more sophisticated about that. Sometimes, if you're dealing with a person that doesn't get it, it's much better to pray for them than it is to try to talk at them. Because as you begin to pray, they don't even have to know that you're praying. Frankly, sometimes it's better. Right? As you begin to pray, you can pray in your mind, you pray under your breath, you can pray, go and leave and say, hey, I got to take a walk for a few minutes. And then you begin to pray and you begin to take authority in over that darkness that has affected comprehension. And you begin to declare God's light and his understanding and his truth and his revelation in that situation over that person. We begin to cover them, right, by the power of prayer, and we're agreeing with God. See, it's not just the prayer. It's the person we're praying to. We're agreeing with God, and he begins to affect the situation, and then you have the same conversation with the same words, and suddenly they understand. It's not because you got better at explaining it. It's because now there has been a shift in comprehension, a shift in darkness. So our prayers, right, we begin to ask for clarity. God, would you give us clarity? God, would you bring clarity wherever there is darkness? Even right now, Lord, in this room, over our hearts, we pray that for our kids, Lord. We pray that for our neighbors, that you would just begin to shine your light in the dark places. Wherever there is confusion, bring clarity, Jesus. Wherever there are things that are standing in opposition to you so that they can't even hear you, Lord, would you now just begin to lift that oppression so that they could receive the truth of your word? Number three, darkness affects lifestyle. Darkness affects lifestyle. Jesus says that whoever follows me won't walk in the darkness. And there is, in fact, a lifestyle of walking in the darkness that is pursuing a lifestyle that is detrimental, that is destructive ultimately. It's interesting that we talk a lot today. That's a terminology even that we use. We talk about alternative lifestyles or lifestyle choices. And so there's this understanding that even we have that there is a way that you can live. And the reality is that many times certain lifestyles are clothed or surrounded by darkness. And the very pursuit of a person's life becomes so surrounded by this thing, they don't even realize it. And it's affected everything about them. And we begin to pray, God, would you bring awakening? Would you help them to wake up in the midst of the place that they're at right now so that they would see the futility of where they're going? Like the prodigal son who woke up in the mall and realized, what am I doing? How could I have fallen so far? Why am I eating out of the pig trough? Why have I allowed myself to get to this place? But he had pursued a lifestyle that had brought such darkness into him that he couldn't get out of it. He couldn't even see it. And so, but then the moment the light shone, he began to be transformed. Oh, what in the world am I doing? God, would you bring light that people would suddenly wake up out of their slumber? They're almost like in a state of a trance, living a lifestyle, thinking that they've got it, thinking that they're on the right path. God, would you encounter them and wake them up? See, we begin to pray. You see here, I'm talking about how we can actually engage our Father in prayer over the spirit and the dominion of darkness. Number four, darkness can overtake people. We know that, right? Then when there's darkness that surrounds us, sometimes it's almost like it creeps up on us. We get involved in things that we didn't mean to get involved in. People stumble into things because there is so much darkness around them. And so people then need rescue. And very often what we need to do is we need to pray for rescue. God, they are so lost. If you don't bring rescue to them, if you don't save them out of that place, there's nothing that I can do. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we try to convince people, it doesn't do any good. Sometimes we try to tell people to get them to see their own brokenness. And it's like, hey, you're wasting your breath. Talk to the King of Kings who can actually wake them up, who can begin to stir so that then when you encounter and talk with them, then suddenly something can happen. See, prayer is like an atomic bomb of power. And many times in our relationships, we spend and waste our time just trying to work things out in communication. I'm not saying you don't need to take communications courses. I'm not saying you shouldn't get more skilled in communication. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should, in fact, stop saying the stupid things that you say to your spouse or to your friends. That's absolutely true. But there is a weapon that has incredible power for transforming the nature of conversations, the nature of your interactions, and that is prayer. And so when we begin to go to God and say, God, if you don't show up in this conversation, I'm going to have wasted breath. If you don't actually begin to change my heart and their heart, if you don't help us go beyond this thing so that all that we can do is talk at some basic level, then there's no hope. But Lord, I know that you can move mountains and you can change hearts. I know, God, that you are more than willing and more than able to come into situations that are so broken and hopeless, that you can actually turn them around into something that's beautiful. So, Lord, would you please guide and guard this conversation? Would you help me to say the right words? Would you help me not to say stupid things, God, but would you anoint my words to be the right ones for the right moment? And see, and as now we're walking in with some power. I need some power. I don't know about you. I'm not that great in conversation. I need some anointing. I need some power. That happens through prayer. That happens through encountering God. Number five, darkness is strengthened through hatred. Amen. Unforgiveness is one of the major, probably the greatest stronghold for the enemy. 1 John says, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. So when we talk about darkness in our cities, we see that a huge part of that comes from hatred from one person to another person, from one people group to another people group, hatred between races, hatred between gangs, hatred between parents and kids, between generations, so many things. Hatred because someone did something to you, hatred because someone did something to your parents, or your family, your grandparents, and before you know it, we're surrounded by darkness. We're enveloped in it because we have participated in it. If you want to know a way out of darkness, forgiveness is one of the greatest ways that you can find light. Forgiveness is one of the greatest ways that you can be set free from darkness. And so we pray, God, would you help us to forgive? Would you give us a forgiving heart? Would you help us not to keep rehearsing over and over again the things that will not actually yield good fruit, but instead give us, Lord, the fruit of righteousness, forgiveness, and grace. Number six, darkness is desensitizing. The more we're in it, the more we're surrounded by it, the more blind we come to it. We used to be surprised by things that we see. We used to be shocked by them. We're no longer shocked by them because we become like the frog in the proverbial pot of boiling water, right? Where little by little, one degree at a time, we no longer see what's going on around us. We pray, God, would you restore our innocence? God, would you restore us so that we would no longer be so desensitized to the wickedness and the evil that's around us. Lord, would you help us to not be shocked once again? Would you help us to be shocked once again at what we're seeing? God, would you break our hearts again? Because we're hard now. We're so calloused to it that we no longer are bothered by the evil that we see around us. Number 7, darkness torments people through evil spirits. There are some people that are just bothered by demonic oppression, a spirit that continues to come after them. We pray, Lord, would you set people free? The good news is this: darkness can be defeated. We need to know about darkness. We need to know how it works. But the reality is the reason we need to know how it works is because we have already won the victory through Jesus Christ. Number one, if I just give you 2 points here about how darkness can be defeated, darkness can be broken. I just want you to know darkness can be broken. If you have darkness in your life, in your family, I just want you to know Jesus came to set you free. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to assume it's going to be with you forever. You don't have to live as if, man, I guess I just have to deal with this. I want you to know he is the one that came to set the captive free. He is the one that came to declare freedom for all those who are in oppression, all those who are in chains. This is what John 12:46 says. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness in your home. You don't have to live in darkness in your community, in your city. You actually are set free by the power of the Spirit. Now, the reality is that he has come to deliver us from the domain of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of his marvelous light. How do you actually get there? How do you actually move from one place to another? Well, there's a very simple formula that will take the rest of your life living out. That is, you need to repent, you need to renounce, you need to receive salvation, and you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's very simple. You say, man, this was wicked. I see it's wicked. It was dark. It was from the enemy. I no longer am going to agree with that. I recognize that that's sin. I recognize that that lifestyle, those choices, that is not right. That's of the enemy. I'm now turning. I'm renouncing that. I'm saying no longer. I'm not going to live with that anymore. I'm not going to do those things anymore. Yeah, I'm going to not look at those things anymore. I'm not going to give any room for those things anymore. And I'm going to turn towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, God, would you save me? Would you rescue me? Would you bring your blood to wash me and cleanse me? Would you take me out of the reins of darkness and move me into the kingdom of light? And would you fill me with your Spirit? Because I don't want to live like that any longer. See, if we would just do that. See, and it never actually really changes. As a believer, you continue that process. As a believer, you end up stumbling. Go, oh, I did that again. God, forgive me. I renounce it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make any room for it. Now, would you fill me once again, Lord? Because I don't want to live like that anymore. The power of darkness can be broken in your life. Secondly, I just want to say that darkness will pass away. That the time of darkness is limited. 1 John says, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This is the reason we're not hopeless but hopeful when it comes to the situation in the world today. So when I look at the earth today, I'm not hopeless. When I look at the next generation, I'm not hopeless. When I look at the way our world is, I'm not hopeless. Why? Because I know that God is on a path of encounter with his people. I know that God himself has already defeated the enemy. I know the enemy, his time is limited, right? So we already know Jesus has already won the victory. The enemies make a lot of noise in the meantime, but one of the funnest things that we can do in prayer is remind the enemy where he's headed. One of the greatest things that you can do in prayer is you just say to the enemy, hey, you know what? I know, enemy, I know you're making some noise. I know you've won a couple of victories, but I just want to remind you there's a greater one than you that has already defeated you, that you don't have any authority anymore. You might have some power. You might be able to make some noise. You might still convince people of who you are, but your time is limited. Your destination is already decided. You are going to be burning in the lake of fire. and your time is no longer going to be for. And so there is a sense in which we have to be assured that we are not hopeless, we're hope-filled. That though the enemy might make some noise, that he's not going to win. And so if you're hopeless today, you're thinking, man, I don't know about this. Or you're tempted to give up and you're tempted just to live in a very small-minded way. I'm going to close up shop. I'm going to close my doors. I'm going to go into my house. It's just going to be us four. And we're going to make sure that we live a good life. I want to say it's time for you to get the right perspective. It's time for you to remember who we serve and the plan that he has, and that you're a part of the church of God that is moving forward in the earth, that is designed to claim territory, to take cities, and to push the kingdom of darkness backwards. How do we dismantle darkness? Let me just end with this. How do we dismantle darkness? Well, I want you to know, first of all, that this is the ministry of the church. It comes, first of all, it's like you have to decide, you have to understand that this is what the church does. The church dismantles darkness. And when I say the church, I mean everybody that follows Jesus Christ. So that's you. If you follow Jesus Christ, your job is to actually engage in battle with the kingdom of darkness and to bring light into dark places. Your job is to agree with what the Lord has already said that he desires to do in the earth today, which is to bring his kingdom to bear in this place. God has given us the power to push into darkness and to push it back. God has given us the power to begin to declare his light in this place and to claim souls that are lost, to snatch people out of darkness, to snatch them out of the hand of the enemy, right? And so that's why when we pray from the north to the south, to the east to the west, give them up and let them go. Let them come into the kingdom of God. We declare today that there is a new day that is in this place that has been declared by Jesus Christ, that he has won the victory. And so every person, we put them on notice around this. Every spiritual authority, we put you on notice. We're a church that's alive. We're not going to give in. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give this city over to the enemy. We're not going to give our family up to the enemy. We're saying, hey, we're here today, and we serve a God who has won the victory. He's given us the authority that is needed. And so we say, hey, this far and no further. And what's more, we're taking territory back that you think you've already got. You think you've won. You haven't won, enemy. You haven't even begun to see what the church of the living God can be. See, there's time for us. It's time for us to understand this is our ministry and this is our purpose. It's time for us to stop just walking around with blind eyes, with our head down, just trying to get through the day. It's time for us when we go into the marketplace, we're standing in line and at Walmart, instead of going, oh God, again. Open your eyes. Look around. Look at people's faces. See the prayer projects that are all around us. Begin to just under your breath, you just begin to pray. God, I see that person. Oh, you have a destiny for them. You have a purpose for them. Would you encounter them? Lord, would you bless them? Even right now as they're walking through the aisles of the store, Lord, that you begin to turn their heart towards you, that you would begin to open up their eyes, Lord, so that they begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's time for us to stop cursing the people around us and start blessing them and start declaring God's goodness to them. See, we are a part of the kingdom of God that is advancing and moving forward. But if we don't actually use the tools that we have, if we don't recognize the purpose that we have stamped upon us, then we will miss the thing that God wants to do through us. Oh, I want to be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to have, number two, a healthy biblical worldview that understands both the spiritual and material realm. See, Ephesians says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we recognize that we're not just dealing with the physical, we have to also deal with the spiritual. That when we're talking about this thing of spiritual atmosphere, there is in fact spiritual powers. There are demonic forces. There is an enemy. There is Satan, and there are fallen angels. There are demonic powers that are in fact at work around us, and they're seeking to influence, and they're seeking to talk to people. And so we have to have a full understanding of the world. And not just get stuck in just a one view understanding. If you are stuck in the thing, you just need to try to do better, then that is a truncated, a limited view of the way that the universe really works. You need to open up your understanding that there's a God of the universe that actually wants to help you, and he will transform you from the inside out. At the same time, when we talk about having a balanced worldview, I want you to understand that as Christians, we should not be expecting or thinking that every broken thing in the world is because of a demonic influence. I mean, there's a thing today where people walk around casting demons out of everything, casting demons out of mailboxes, casting demons out, you know, shopping carts and cars, and casting, then we try to cast demons out of people, and, you know, I'm not saying you can't cast demons out of people, but not everything is a demon. Sometimes it's just people. It's the flesh. We sometimes blame things on the enemy that he certainly took advantage, and he will take advantage, but James actually tells us that sin comes from lust in our heart. It starts in here. And it's when things start in here, then it gives birth to sin. There's something that's produced. And that doesn't involve the enemy. That involves you. That involves me being stupid, doing things that we should do. And so a balanced view understands that, yes, there's a supernatural reality, but there's also the reality of humanity and the flesh. And both of those things are at work. And we must actually have a healthy understanding and not blaming everything on the devil, and at the same time, not blaming everything just on the flesh. Some sickness is, in fact, from the enemy. Yeah. Some sickness actually needs to be dealt with, spiritually speaking, not just given a pill. Now, some things need to have a pill. God can heal, but I'm just saying not every cancer is from a demon. So let's have a balanced view. Number three, punch through the spiritual darkness and open a gate to heaven through prayer. This is for you, this is for me. In every home, in every neighborhood, in every church, in every car, the church of God is to be continually creating, punching through the spiritual darkness, creating an opening in heaven for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. See, as followers of Christ, we have access right into the throne room of God. Wherever we go, we are to be constantly creating a portal, the stairway to heaven, right? Of drawing heaven down into this place. So our homes should be centers of prayer. Prayer is not just for church. Prayer is not just for emergencies. Prayer is the avenue by which we begin to punch through the spiritual atmosphere of darkness that is over regions, and we begin to declare the kingdom of God is coming, and it's here, and it's now, and it's in my house, and it's going to be over my kids, and as a matter of fact, it's over my neighborhood. And so we're looking for people that would walk their neighborhood, and as you walk your neighborhood, you're praying, and you're declaring, every place I put my foot is a place that the kingdom of God is going to dwell, and I'm going to begin to declare that over this neighborhood, God, this is where you reign and this is where you rule. I'm inviting you into this place. And Lord, as I pass by this house right here, I'm not going to point at the house because people might think I'm weird and they might think that I'm planning on casing the place to steal something later, but instead I'm sending a blessing, Lord. So would you right now, would you visit that home and what's going on in there, the whatever issues that they're facing with, would you turn them around on their behalf? Would you make them hunger and thirst for the things of God? Lord, I'm praying for a blessing to descend upon them so much that they would actually just run into your house, that they'd know you. Everything that's coming against them, I declare it in the name of Jesus, that it would be broken. Every power of the enemy that seeks to have authority right now, I come against the powers of the enemy that are arrayed against this family and this home in the name of Jesus, because your name's above every name. And so, God, would you visit my neighborhood? See, it's time for the church to decide, hey, I'm going to punch through the atmosphere a place for heaven to come down. Before you know it, the whole city's transformed. Before you know it, and it's not just our house that's a place that receives the blessing and the peace of God, but now entire neighborhoods. Before you know it, people stop buying drugs. They don't have an appetite for it anymore. Before you know it, people stop beating on each other and stop fighting with each other, and the violence suddenly just stops happening. And nobody can explain it. Oh, but the people of God knows what's going on. The people of God understand that it is the King of Kings that has come and moved on their behalf. Amen. Finally, number four, believe that the gospel is powerful to deliver people and places from evil influences. I've already said this verse, Colossians 1:13. This is what Scripture says. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I'm going to read one more verse to you, 2 Corinthians 1:10. This isn't on the screen. This came to me just before the service. It's what Paul prays. He says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. It's kind of a fun verse because he says deliver three times. Past, present, and future. He says he's already delivered us from a deadly peril. Right now he's delivering us. Amen. And in the future he's going to continue to deliver us. See, we serve a God who has already set the captives free. We serve a God that is setting us free right now, and we serve a God that's meeting us tomorrow with deliverance from tomorrow's challenges. See, and because of that, we are covered yesterday, today, and forever. The church of God is covered by his power, that he is ready to deliver. He is ready to set us free. He is ready to break the power of darkness and of wickedness and of anything that we've inherited from parents or grandparents, from anything that's attached itself to our family, from any stupid thing that we've been involved in, from any sinful practice that we have allowed to come into our life that has built a stronghold. He's come to deliver us. He's come to set us free. He's come to declare sight to those blind places. He's come to bring life to those dead areas of our heart. He's come to soften the hearts that are resistant. He's come to quicken the minds that can't seem to understand. Thank you, God, that you have brought your light into dark places. Thank you, God, that you're on a pathway of encounter with your people today. Thank you, God, that you're not going to leave the city in ruins, but this city is going to be what we have heard it declared to be prophetically. This city is going to be a Jesus city. This community, this county is going to be known as a place where the kingdom of God surprisingly is breaking out. God, would you do it in this place? God, would you do it in this place? Would you stand to your feet? Let me just pray for you. I want to pray for a couple different groups. I'll try to do it quickly. First of all, if you just bow your heads and you're here this morning, and I just feel stirred that perhaps as I've been talking about darkness and wickedness, you just know that there's something in your family, something you've inherited or something you've been involved in that has given a foothold or a stronghold to the enemy. There might be something even in your house that you need to deal with. You need to go home and you need to pull it out of its hidden place, and you need to break it or burn it or throw it away and renounce it and repent from that practice. There might be something that you've been hiding for a while that for whatever reason you've hung on to it, but it actually represents an old life or an old lifestyle, and it's a foothold that the enemy is using. Maybe that's your application this morning, is that you're just saying, yes, I need to deal with that. I'm going to deal with that. If you this morning are just feeling or hearing from the Lord that you need a prayer of deliverance today for something, for some reason, something's attached itself to you or to your family, would you just raise your hand, because we want to pray for you together. And that might be you're saying, I'm going to go deal with something in my house today, or I'm going to stop doing something that I know has opened me up to the power of the enemy. Let's just begin to pray right now, church, for every hand that's raised, every life that's represented. Thank you, God, that you have come to deliver and set free. You've come to break the power of darkness and the power of the enemy over over people's lives. And right now, we pray for every person with their hand raised. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over the dominion of darkness. We take authority over every area that the enemy has sought to find and take a stranglehold or a stronghold. Be broken in the name of Jesus. We declare freedom in Jesus' name. We declare there is strength today to walk in a new way. We declare today is a new day. Lord, a day of salvation, a day of hope, a day of healing. Lord, wherever there has been oppression, wherever the enemy has come and has continually harassed, in Jesus' name, we say, enemy, hands off the people of God. Let them go. Don't bother them again in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every person that has decided in their heart that they're going to go home and they're going to break something. They're going to break maybe a tradition that they know is not from you. They're going to break an object that has been attached and allowed wickedness to come in. Lord, would you strengthen them to do what they know in their heart you've asked them to do. And we say to the enemy, enemy, you leave them alone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Keep your heads bowed just for one more second. I want to pray for those who need Jesus Christ, who you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe even as I'm talking today, you're like, I don't even know how I ended up here this morning, or I know that I'm lacking something, and today I'm going to reach out to Jesus. I just have enough faith to reach out for salvation today. If that's you, if you need salvation today, I just want to say there is good news. It is available for you today. There is good news. In the house today, there is deliverance that's available for you. The things that have weighed down upon you, the purposelessness that maybe you have encountered in your life, the way that you have found yourself, it is time now for you to move into a new place, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is on course to meet with you this morning. And his invitation is for anyone who wants to receive, anyone that's broken, anyone that feels distant from him, anyone that does not have the Spirit of God. Today, it's available for you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you need that this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, would you just raise your hand, raise it up high and say, I need that this morning. I'm going to make a decision for Christ today. Raise a hand up high so I can see it. Anyone here today? Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Put your hands down just for one moment. If you're here this morning, secondly, and you need to come back to Christ, I'm simply going to ask you that you would raise your hand and say, I'm coming back to Jesus. I've been away. I have been disobedient. I have run in the other direction, but today I'm coming back. Raise your hand up high. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. I see those hands. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, listen, look at me right now. Everybody that raised your hand, I'm just going to invite you to come down right here because we want to pray for you. So if you raise your hand to follow Christ for the first time or to make a recommitment to him, I want you to come down. The reason I want you to come down is because you will never forget this moment, and we're going to be able to pray for you. You can raise your hands many times, but this will mark your life and mark your day. So just make your way forward. As you're coming forward, everybody else, if you're part of the house, you know this, turn to your neighbor and say, do you need to come down? If you do, I will go with you. Would you just turn to, come on, everybody say to somebody else, do you need to go down? I'll go down with you. And then just come on down. Come right down here, guys. Come right down up front here. Come right up front. Yeah. 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 Come on in. Come on in. Come in. It's kind of all across the front. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We're going to pray for you right now. Today's a day of encounter. Today's a new day. Today's a day of salvation. Today's a day of rescue, restoration. Jesus is on course with you. Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't thrown you away. He's here to meet with you. He's here to transform you from the inside out. Today is a great day. Today's a great day. Would you, church, just extend your hands? We're just going to pray for you guys right now. If you just bow your head, Lord, we thank you for every person that's here up front. Lord, whether for the first time or they're recommitting today, we thank you, Lord, that you are on an encounter path with every single soul that's up here. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one who rescues us out of the dominion of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of light. We thank you that you're a God who breaks the power of the enemy, that you, Lord, are on a course with each and every person that's here today. So, Lord, right now, we just come under the blood of Jesus Christ. We just reach out for the salvation of Jesus that comes to break the power of the enemy, to break the power of the past, to break the power of sin. sin and death. And over every life today, Lord, we declare blessing. We declare goodness. We declare the things that you have desired for every single person here. God, we pray that you would break every power of the enemy, every power of oppression, every power of darkness in the name of Jesus, even as they are transferred from darkness into light. Let today be a day of visitation. Today is a day of after and before. Never again, Lord, let the past come. But today, moving forward, let salvation visit their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.